happy couple. I'm just going to put down happy couple. Yeah, it does. It's kind of generic. Yes.
Our big brother has been in the hospital.
Tom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to have to go see a pulmonary doctor, a cardiologist, a kidney doctor, and one more. Anyway, he's going to be on oxygen now for the rest of his life.
Really?
COPD.
Okay.
They really can't figure out what's causing the problem. Oh, a GI doctor.
Okay.
Because he was bleeding internally.
Yeah. Did they ever figure out what was going on? Have they stopped the bleeding?
Yes. They told him that he could recoup at home and come in for physical therapy.
Okay.
And I'm going, okay. I think a lot of it is insurance. They kicked him out because they couldn't figure out what's wrong.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll keep Tom in our prayers. How's Debbie doing?
Hanging in there. She's still in jeopardy of losing her job.
Okay. Busy, busy, busy people. When is she having surgery? I'm sorry, Joe. How the rest of you?
I have a praise, man.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Pam
L O N. What kind of cancer?
Breast cancer.
Okay. Tuesday? Tuesday? Did you say Tuesday, right? That was Pam Lont, L-O-N-T. Keep her in your prayers. Carol? Is he in the hospital? Or is he at home? Okay. We have no lack of people to pray for, okay? And we should be doing this daily. It doesn't have to take 2 hours. Our God knows what's going on. I have the great privilege of having another 6 months of chemotherapy. We went out to Iowa City and talked to a couple of doctors, and for as much as man knows, it's amazing to me how little they know and how much guesswork is involved with this stuff.
That's why you call it practice.
Yeah, without a doubt. The guy, my wife and I are talking on the way home. The guy that we saw is a bit eccentric, but he's head of the department. He's been there for like 900 years. Okay, and he goes, "Well, we'll try this," which, you know, if I didn't have an anchor in Christ, I would be scared to death. Would you say, share it with the rest of us? Okay, Is there anyone else we need to be praying for outside of everyone else in this room? Okay?
Robinson's daughter had surgery and they're waiting on the biopsy. Female surgery. She's
okay. Surgery. Katie?
I don't know if you got any reports back yet.
Okay. Did I see another hand? Did you check with me first? No, you didn't. You're just going to go. I'm being informed. This coming week? Okay. It's good to see you guys back. Anyone else?
Amanda, Dad, Joe, and Baker, they've decided to bring him into hospice today. He did not do well after the pancreas and spleen were removed. His liver and kidneys are still not functioning. His levels are sky high. They have no hope.
Are they believers? Then they have hope. And we have to cling to that because we get a lot of bad news, okay? But our God is still sovereign and he's in charge, and we cling to that. The older I get, the more I cling, seeing the fragility of this life and these bodies. And, you know, 20 years ago, did you hear about this much cancer? Seriously? I mean, there is hardly anybody that you talk to that isn't affected by it. It's just, it amazes me. You know, either we were dumb and didn't see it, or we've got a resurgence. I don't know. What I do know is that God is still sovereign, and he's in charge, and there's a purpose to it. And that's, again, I'm going to be redundant, but that's what we need to cling to. Anyone else? Let's pray. Father God, we are so grateful that we can come to you anytime, anywhere, to seek your mercy, to seek you when we have need. We no longer have to go through a third party. We no longer have to go to someone else. We can go directly to your throne of grace to seek you, to plead with you, to implore you, to praise you for what you've done. It's an awesome thing, an awesome privilege that we have as your children. Father, we have a variety of needs, a variety of praises that we have spoken about today. We know you know each life. We know that you know each circumstance. We're just grateful, Father, that you are our strength, that you are a portion, that in you we find comfort and we find hope. I can't fathom living in this world without you. And there are so many, Father, that don't have this hope. Father, we ask today that in all that we do it with a purpose, that we do it with a passion, that we don't do things or give lip service to you. Father, we want to do those things that you have prepared for us. Your word says that you have prepared things for us to do that will glorify you. I pray that the distractions of this life, the things that seem important to us, are checked by what's really important. I pray, give us a proper perspective on this life. Above all people that walk this earth, we are most blessed because we know you. We know about you. We know how you think and how you do, as much as you have revealed to us. And that's enough. Father, I pray this morning that we would, that nothing would be taught here that is contrary to your will or to your word, but that you would receive all honor and all glory as we pursue you. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. And Father, we thank you for the work of your Son that has enabled all of this to be ours. We give you all praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. One name I didn't mention that you may have seen in the newspaper, a young man who's a teacher at Moline High School, passed away this past week. I want to talk about circumstances of life. 6 months ago, he fell off of a 2-foot step ladder and had a brain injury that he just didn't recover from. Healthy young man, okay? 36 years old. How old are you? How much more blessed a time have you had? And how much honor have you given to your God for each day that he gives you life? It's you know, I mentioned it in my prayer. It's perspective. Most of this life rolls down to what kind of perspective that you have. Whether you're going to be a pessimist or you're going to be an optimist. Where do you fall in that category? Where do you fall? I'm sorry? Is that better?
There we go.
There we go.
Thank you.
Anytime. Okay. I'm sorry? Okay. Got a piece of tape? Anybody? What'd you say? Staple? Trust me, I've had those. They're no fun. Still? Yeah, thanks a lot. Okay, we got to get to it. Last week, for those who weren't here, we talked about that portion of Scripture, Acts 9, 1 through 22. About how the study of the attributes of God enhances our witness. I'll let you read that on your own. You should have, by the way, because that was the assignment for the previous week. Today we want to look at, depending on what time we have left, seeking to know God, seeking to know the character of God, enhances and enriches our study of the Scripture. Okay? Now, you all study, right? At some form or another, you get the book out, you look at it, you read it. In your mind, you may ask questions. If you have a concordance or the little cheat notes that great men of God have given us so that we can understand more fully how the Scriptures interact. I got to ask you a question. When you read God's Word, does it enhance your study based on the depth of knowledge you have in Him? Because we've been talking all this time. This is the preamble to what we're going to be getting into, about these attributes of God. Okay? How does your study of the Scriptures enhance what you know about God? Should be a simple question, right? That should be. When you read God's Word, is there something that takes place that gives you greater understanding about who He is, how He works, and what His purposes are? I got an absolutely. Yes? Okay. Define that for us, would you please? Yes? That's good. Okay. Okay, it's a good observation, Tom. Can you give me an example? So we're being practical here. Can you give me an example of both, of that preconceived notion that you might have, okay, when you look to the Word? Okay. Sure. Okay. Sure. It's a good example. Sure. That's a big word you just used, okay? Meditating, okay? It's not like the transcendental meditation where you block out everything in your mind and hope that something else will come in to fill it, like the floaters in Fairfield. And if you don't know who those people are, no, you do, okay. Meditating on the Word, there are precepts. We're going to look at some Psalms today about David and his passion for God and his passion for the law. And when you see the Scriptures I'm going to give you, you hear the word law, what do you think? Anti-grace, okay? A system of rules and regulations. Don't think that way, because God breathed that law to us for a reason, to show us how far we fall short of meeting the requirements of a holy God, okay? And He did it with real men and real women, and they're chronicled in the Old Testament. So the Old Testament is a great resource for us in regards to, illuminating God's character for us. And we'll share a little bit of that. How about John 3:16? Okay, everybody knows that, right? I'm glad you brought up the 23rd Psalm, because there's a whole lot more there than you think. And if you don't spend time just, I don't want to say empty your mind, because that brings up connotations, but looking at the Word with fresh eyes as you read it, not bringing that preconceived notion that Tom talked about to the table, but letting the Word of God speak to you. Now, sometimes that's dangerous, and I'll tell you why. Because men will take God's Word out and, put it together like a puzzle so it says what they want it to say. Case in point, there's a gentleman here a couple weeks ago said the world was going to end. Okay? And what happened? Are we all still here? So are we all lost in our sin? He was wrong. Okay. Now, a week later he comes back and says, no. it's going to be October, November, something. I was listening to somebody, Chuck Swindoll, I think, on the way home from the doctor's office. And he talked about, knowing the very time and date of the Lord's return. And Jesus, when he spoke, he spoke of that is reserved to God and God alone. Of course, he was speaking as God in the flesh here on earth. So he set aside all those things that made him God, his foreknowledge, his all of that, he set aside. He set all of his glory aside so that he could live here and experience this and be a perfect sacrifice for us. He knows the day and the hour when his return will become real, okay? We don't. In fact, Jesus said, if somebody says, Jesus is over there, please don't pay attention to him, because they have no clue. Because the word said, no one knows the hour. No one. So I find it comical that a man of God, however much in error he may be, would stand up and say, this is the day, this is the time when the Savior is going to return. When you hear things like that, it should be a red flag that there's something not quite right, that someone may be deluded. That's the discernment we get to have as believers. Okay? Seeking to know the character of God enhances and enriches the study of the Scriptures. The Scriptures are the primary source of our instruction concerning God's attributes. Now, for those of you who want a little bit more, I want to give you a couple of references that you can look up. We know that there are three primary sources of revelation. Okay? And I'm going to give them to you. Concerning the character of God. God's creation. And you can see that in Psalm 19, 1 through 6, and Romans 1, 18 through 20. The Son of God. Okay? God's revelation to us. We can't overlook Christ himself. He was God's final word to us. There's nothing that we can add post-Christ. And we see that in John 1, 14 through 18, and Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. And then finally we have the Word of God. And I have Psalm 19. Psalm 119, which is pretty exhaustive. It's the largest chapter in God's book. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. It is only the Word of God that the Son of God is described in John 20. 30 and 31, and 1 John 1, 1 through 4. So we have three primary sources of revelation concerning the character of God: His creation, His Son, and His Word. Anything else outside of that is to be suspect. Okay? We discern that by reading the Scriptures. Just exactly what he says. As we seek to learn the character of God, we soon discover that we have a new outlook on the Scriptures. I mentioned perspective, optimism, and pessimism. You both know what those are like, right? Because you've all at one point in time in your life been optimistic about something, or you've been pessimistic about something. Optimism is that thing we choose in our minds to be positive about, regardless of the circumstance. Okay? Pessimism is seeing the negative pretty much in everything. And all we have to do is turn on the news or look around us. This past week, Pride Week, okay? Where men and women are doing things that are an abomination to our God. God is not like that. God is not perverse. His character reveals that to us. Anything opposing that character is suspect. I don't care how small or how large or what kind of tolerance we think we need, there is a line to be drawn when we see that kind of behavior. If we see it within the body, we are instructed to take care of it. We are. We spent time, the last time we met, looking at Romans chapter 9 and looking at God's sovereignty as a whole. And all things being glorifying to Him regardless. And I don't want to spend too much time here, but even the sin that we see, God does not perpetrate, but ultimately brings Him glory. Don't miss that. Even those texts that we may have considered boring come to life when we begin to see God's character described in them. Boring. Okay? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, and whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Sounds like Eeyore, doesn't it? Okay. This is something I should do. Do you find yourself, and be honest, do you find yourself being bored to tears? I mean, all you have to do is read Leviticus, okay? Straight through. Sit down some evening. If you have trouble sleeping, okay? It's a great book to put you right under. It is. Until you look at it in context. It's the law. It's the law. We're not under the law. How does it pertain to me? You have to ask the questions. You do. Even those texts that we have considered boring come to life as we begin to see God's character described in them. You have to, when you read, you don't read like I just did. You take time. If all you do in a day is look at one verse in context of a passage, and the next day you read the next verse, and you squeeze it for all it's worth, I will guarantee you, experientially, you will find new things within those passages of Scripture that you considered boring. We get, things become old hat to us very easily. They do. When we do things out of compulsion and not a desire, a true desire to want to understand what God's character is like, you get what you give. If you approach the Scriptures with an earnest desire to understand what God's character is like, there will be a transformation in how you view your circumstances, good, bad, or indifferent. Personal. you know, my wife and I have gone through some difficulties over the past couple of years. And sometimes it would be nice just to think about, you know, vacation. Just going fishing. I think I took a lot for granted, because I used to do it without thinking about it. We'd go for a week, we'd go up north and we'd fish, and we'd get a cabin or something, and you know, it was fun. It's amazing what you appreciate when you can't do it. Vacations. You know, even time with your grandkids. I'm physically not up to it. And I got grandkids that are just, they're machines. They are. They tire me very quickly. I wish it were not so. But you think about those things and how, you know, ordinary they seem until they're gone. You know, I mentioned Kurt Butterfield, 36 years old. How could God take this young man? I mean, that's what we think. We may not speak it, but that's what we think. How can that happen? Well, it can happen because God's plan is higher than our expectations here. We have to get that first. What we read and how we pursue God through the scriptures, through our study, through all the things that we're told we should do for our benefit, if we come to them with no expectation of all at all, I think we gain a whole lot more than, I go back to what Tom said, the scriptures being mundane. How important is your study to you? Can we quantify that? How important is your study to you personally? Not to your wife, not to your husband, but to you personally. Because you're not going to stand before God and say, we. You're going to say, I. You're going to give account for what you've done in the body. Not you and your husband, but you. How important is your time in the Word? I'm sorry? It's crucial. Do we really? Go ahead. It's your life. Do you live like that, though? And I'm not trying to beat you down in any way. I'm asking the question. Because I find myself at times, and it's real, you know, I'm sitting watching TV and I could be reading, okay? It's the reality. How important is it to me? On a scale of 1 to 100, maybe 70% sometimes, maybe 20% sometimes. Let's turn the table. How about God paying attention to you 20% of the time, 40% of the time, 70% of the time? You know, if he is our Father, and that's what we believe, and the relationship should be that close, what's disconnected? Okay, it's us. How do we remedy that? How do we remedy that? How do we remedy the mundane we see in God on a daily basis? Yes?
I was going
to
say something.
Say it.
I'm a mom of four tiny children.
Sure.
I don't get into the Word every day.
Okay.
Cindy
does that as well.
I
Yes, I do.
I don't have an hour. I don't have an hour of brain power.
Okay. Yes. Well, we have wisdom.
Have a verse that's over my sink that I can read when I'm doing dishes.
Okay. I got a guy here that's going to burst if we don't give him a chance.
You know, that's one thing. That's what she says. She feels guilty to take just a little bit of time.
Yep.
And that's not for God.
I was going to say, guilt? Guilt? You've been redeemed. A royal priesthood, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. 1 Peter. Okay? I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think we beat ourselves up, or we let the enemy beat us to a pulp. Okay? Look at David's life. It is a great example. A great example of a man not being swayed by circumstance. Made mistakes, but recovered from them very well. Because it wasn't about David. He knew it was about God. I've got a couple of verses of scripture here I have to share with you before we leave today. In regards to that study of the scriptures. And I want you to look at Psalm. We're going to be in Psalm 119, which again is, you know, if you've got time, I would make time. Psalm 119. And I want you to look, let's start with verse 15. It's a big, big chapter. Kathy, would you read 15 through 18? Does that sound like a man who's been beat up or who is torturing himself with the weight of things I should do? At this point in David's life, he's made some mistakes, okay? And they're chronicled for us. It's not like they can be hidden. We all know about David's infidelity, the murder that ensued. This is the same guy. I will meditate on your precepts. Precepts is commands. Okay? I will meditate on your commands and regard your ways. I'm going to be attuned to what you have for me. I will regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. Delight here means delight. There's nothing mysterious about this. He's going to delight in the things that God has written in his word. I shall not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Does it seem presumptuous that David would ask for life so that he could worship, so that he could obey? Do we have that mindset as we live and we walk day to day? I will delight in the law that you have set before me, because it's good for me. We look at the entirety of the law as written or added to by men, when I don't know that God ever intended it to be a burden, but an instructive device on how to live a life that is pleasing to God. Now, that sounded like something out of context. Think about the Decalogue, the law that God spoke to Moses on Sinai. You'll have no other gods before me. All the way down to keeping the Sabbath. And we know that Jesus is our Sabbath rest. So let's from this side of the Testaments into the New Testament, understand that the Sabbath is no longer an issue because Jesus is our Sabbath rest. But think about David here for a second. If anyone on this earth had reason to feel guilt, was it not David? Knowing God the way he did, a man after God's own heart, knowing him the way he did and still understanding his frailty, enough to be honest enough with God to be able to praise him later as he went through this. It amazes me. David was a man just like us, or a woman, just like us. His desire was for God. His desire was for that close relationship. He even says it in 119:97. He says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." That's 119:97. Seemingly obscure and difficult portions of the Bible come to light when we look to them for insight into the character of God. Prophetic texts, like the book of Revelation, have much to tell us about God's character. Perhaps we spend too much time and effort trying to solve the mysteries we were not intended to comprehend. In Deuteronomy, it says just that. The secret things belong to God. That's Deuteronomy 29:29. Rather than focusing on the character of God, trying to figure out the mystery, as opposed to desiring to understand his character and how he does things. When we come to the scriptures to learn what God is like, we won't be disappointed. Do you believe that? You believe that you won't be disappointed by the time you spend in pursuit of understanding God's character? That was a question. And it commands an answer. If you think it is not a worthy pursuit, you're not going to spend time in the Word. That's human nature. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for your Word and what it shows us about you and who you are and how you do things. It shows us your mercy, your capacity for compassion, your great love. Father, if we're not doing this, we're missing so much. I pray that you would just fill our hearts with a desire for your Word, for the opportunity to set and learn about you, to set it your feet, as it were. and to learn about you. See what you require. See where there is strength. We thank you, Daddy. And we can call you Daddy because you are our Father. We thank you, Daddy, for this time, for your word, for your spirit that gives us insight. We just relish in this time. I pray that you help us to keep it afresh each morning. We give you our praise and our thanks, Father, in Jesus' name.